What is good, everyone? This is Jay from the G-Man Daily Podcast, and this is episode one. By coincidence, my name is actually Juan, but since there's always such confusion, whether there's people saying it with the H that's not there because they're trying to make it sound a little more Spanish or just simply Juan, it doesn't matter. You could call me by my real name, or you could just call me by the name that's just easier, which is just Jay. But yeah, this is episode one of the G-Men Daily Podcast. I thought I'd just start with giving a little brief rundown of me, just because it's episode one. But I promise it will never be like this. This is a strictly Giants channel. But I want you guys to know who is talking behind the microphone. I mean, I would want to too. I don't want just some guy I never heard of, or I don't know. I'd want to know who's talking. So I'm going to let you guys know just a little brief rundown. So I'm in my early 20s. I currently took a semester off of college this year due to the reason that after everything that just happened this past year and a half, I just need a break. And I was studying sports management, sports business, sport analytics, but As the classes and semesters and years went on, I just started realizing I'm really learning absolutely nothing. I'm learning absolutely nothing going to those classes and whatnot. And what I still have an aspiration to be, and I'm still in the process of it, obviously, is become an NFL scout. I love watching the game of football. Grew up watching the game of football. To me, it's the greatest sport in our country. I can't say the world, because obviously the soccer heads will be coming for my head if I said that. We've all seen those Instagram posts, comments. I truly believe it is the greatest sport in America. It by far, to me, just exceeds all the other sports. And I'm a huge fanatic of all the other sports as well. I'm this kind of the same way, but not as much as football. To me, it's just another tier. It's just the upper echelon. It's the elite tier that I think it's by itself. I would say at one point the NBA was at that tier, but I'm not even going to get into the NBA because this is not about the NBA. But I'm saying like pre-super team time, the NBA was probably at that level as well. But this is not about the National Basketball Association. This is about the New York Football Giants. And I've been a Giants fan since as long as I can remember, watching football. My first game, basically all my sport teams are all teams that I've seen first in person, in reality. And most happen to be all New York teams, except for one. I'll get to that soon. I grew up watching the Giants because my first football game was at the Meadowlands. And I saw the Giants beat the Washington Redskins at the time. And I just fell in love. And most of my family members were, my dad's part of the family is from New York, from Manhattan. So I fell in love with Big Blue. I love the colors. I love the fans that I saw there. Like, it was just one of the best experiences of my life. It was kind of like when I first went to Madison Square Garden. And I unfortunately became a Knicks fan because of it, but I fell into the Madison Square Garden little rope there because how beautiful it is and how fun the fans were. The Knicks are on a come up, but this, besides the point, we're not talking about the Knicks. They'll probably still be a losing organization for years to come. It's just what we expect as Knicks fans. And then for baseball, this is where I get a little, I'm saying this, I want to establish this now just in case in any way in other future podcasts it slips. I am a Philadelphia Phillies fan. I just happen to really hate Philly, but the Philadelphia Phillies was the first baseball team I saw. It was at Citizens Bank Park. That was my mother's side of the family. I fell in love with the Phillies. At the time, they were title contending team. I love Chase Utley. I love Ryan Howard. I love all those guys, Jason Worth, all those guys. The Phillies are another messed up organization. I feel like they're becoming the New York Jets of the MLB with the way they're ran. And then obviously for hockey, I'm a huge hockey fan as well. I'm a Rangers fan. And, I'm pretty sure that covers all the sports I really watch besides the combat sports, which is UFC and boxing. I became a G-Man fan very early. I truly love this team. Through all that we've all been through it. I mean, I don't need to recount all the stories of the past. But with the first episode, I thought I'd start off with a little season rundown of 2020. It's considered the 2020-2021 season. I think I'd start with a season rundown. I'm just going to start right at the very beginning. I'm not going to try to make this podcast way too long. It could be a little over 30, could be exactly 30. We'll see. Let's get to it. So with the season beginning of 2020, I had a prior expectation for this team to be around this. I had us at seven wins. And that's because I thought I'd see, I fell into the trap of, oh, okay, maybe Jason Garrett can do something with Daniel Jones. This was all me riding on Daniel Jones having a better rookie season. So that's why I thought we'd have seven, but I'd still think we'd only have seven wins because I thought there was still a lot of lack of talent on both sides of the ball, not just defense, not just offense, on both sides of the ball, in which I was right to an extent. I was definitely wrong about how I thought Daniel Jones would play, but in a way, I did always say, I come into the season, I was saying I thought he would struggle early. I really truly thought he would struggle early. But I thought he was going to have a little sort of a breakout last 6, 5, 7 weeks. I thought that's what was going to happen with Daniel Jones. Obviously, he gets injured. That's a little down the line. But that's true. I fell into the Jason Garrett trap. That's basically what I'm saying. I thought Jason Garrett, at the time, I thought it was a pretty good hire just because, even though I hate the Dallas Cowboys, I just thought it was a good hire because I thought, we didn't know at the time, yes, we loved Joe Judge at his first press conference. It was amazing. But we still didn't know what kind of, you know, coach Joe Judge is. We don't know how he approaches the team or how he coaches the team or how he gets these guys to play. And at the end of the day, he was a rookie head coach. He's never done it. And I knew he was he was a special teams coach, coordinator. He was an offensive coordinator. He was a defensive coordinator, in which I have no problem with because we know one of the Harbros came from that position in the NFL, and he turned out to be a really good coach. But it's just I thought there was a lot of question marks with Joe Judge. So I thought having a coach alongside him as Jason Garrett, who's been head coaching for 8 years with the Dallas Cowboys and was an offensive coordinator prior to that, was a good move because I thought it brought kind of like, hey, look, if you have any questions or you know, you could just have a little more help. Because you have a guy that's been doing it for almost a decade, alongside you. And Patrick Graham, obviously, he's with the Giants a couple years ago as a D-line coach. And then he went to Green Bay, was a linebacker coach, and then went to Miami last year. Miami wasn't horrible last year, but they also weren't very good. So I thought at the time, obviously, no one could tell me at the time you thought Patrick Graham was a great hire. No one could say that. No one could say that because no one was saying that at all because we didn't know about him. So I didn't know about Patrick Graham either. So I thought having a head coach alongside Joe Judge was a very good move. But at the time, I did believe that was a Mara move. It just sounded, it smelled, it just, it was, I gave off the scent it was a John Mara move. But I thought it was smart. I happened to be quite wrong, in my opinion. And now I have a lot of Giants fans right now that are split for this. And it's like they don't want Daniel Jones to have three coordinators in 3 years, and which I get. I understand that completely. But Jason Garrett, he's just not the coordinator for the New York Giants. I have all stream 22, so I love watching and breaking down Giants tape after every single game, and I watched Jason Garrett's offense for 17 weeks, and I can tell you it's not complicated. There's nothing that stands out really. It's just a boring offense that I think it's not meant for Daniel Jones. Pat Shurmur's offense was a more suitable offense for Daniel Jones. No, I do not want Pat Shurmur back. I mean, if he in any way would come back as our OC, I'd take him. I would not be mad, but that is not going to be a Joe Judge move. Joe Judge would not do that. I think Joe Judge is going to end up bringing his guy, or he'll just stay with Jason Garrett. I kind of have a feeling, well, towards the end of the season, the last couple of weeks, so like week 15 and on, I had the feeling, oh, there's no way Jason Garrett's staying. I'm like, especially after the Colombo firing, I'm like, oh, Jason Garrett's gone. But now that we're 2 days past the season, or whenever you guys hear this, it might be three, I'm starting to get the feeling that we really might keep Jason Garrett. I think Judge really might keep Jason Garrett. I could be completely wrong, though, because it is obviously very, very early. And it's not because there hasn't been any moves made. It's just kind of like a, I don't know. It's kind of like a gut feeling. I just feel like Judge is going to stick with Garrett maybe one more year. He obviously is not. He's not getting any. Yes, we saw he got the Chargers head coaching interview, which is insane to me, because to me, I personally believe the Chargers head coaching job is the most intriguing job that there is right now for a head coach vacancy in the NFL. I think the Chargers have the best position and leverage to get any coach they want. So I was kind of confused on why they wanted to interview Jason Garrett, and I heard it was because of the work he did with Dak Prescott and whatnot. Okay, you saw the work he did with Dak Prescott. And mind you, Dak Prescott had an unbelievable season his first year as a fourth rounder. And Daniel Jones in 1 year of Jason Garrett regressed. So I believe that's truly Dak Prescott was just really talented. I'm starting to get that feeling. Dak Prescott was just truly, really talented. He already had his O-line and he had stud receivers. So it just kind of worked out well and Jason Garrett looked good. But now you see Jason Garrett hit reality with the average O-line and pretty average receivers. He can't do anything with Daniel Jones. He's not creative at all. Daniel Jones is actually one of the most efficient 20 yards plus passer in the NFL with completion. So, and we rarely, when you really think about it, compared to all these other NFL teams, but even besides the air raids, offices like Arizona, whatnot, Daniel Jones barely threw 20 plus yarders. He barely threw them. And I think those are shots you got to take in games. You just got to take them. You got to let your receiver have a 50-50 ball chance. You just got, especially when you have, you know, receivers like Golden Tate too. I think Golden Tate, you know, he gets a lot of smack talk or whatnot. You know, yes, he has little issues in the beginning, in the middle of the season or whatnot, but he's a really good 50-50 ball catcher. He could do it. And obviously we know he's a really good yards after catch wide receiver. You know, we have the guys for it. I don't want to comment on Evan Engram, but he's also, he could also be a very good option for a 50-50 ball option because he's faster than most cornerbacks. He's taller than most cornerbacks and he's stronger than most cornerbacks. So he would be also a really good option with the go routes. We did try a little bit of the go routes and whatnot with Evan Engram, in which I like. When I saw that, that encouraged me, but we didn't continue with stuff like that, which discouraged me. And that's why I'm a huge advocate for getting Jason Garrett off this team. But I would understand if he stays, because I understand the three coordinators, three playbooks, one quarterback. I understand that in 3 years. I understand that completely, but quarterbacks have done it. Quarterbacks have done it. You see what happened with Josh Allen this year. There's no coincidence. The coordinator came in, fixed his problems, changed his game, put the offense to highlight his strengths, and he looked like an MVP caliber quarterback this season. And what the front office do, they went and got him a lethal weapon in Stephon Diggs. So that's why we're not going to get into the draft today, really. Yeah, we really won't get into the draft today in episode one, because first off, anyway, free agency is first. And I had that on my Twitter. You know, I had guys commenting about no, because I was posting some pictures and, you know, stats. I like to post pictures and stats of potential free agents in the offseason and whatnot. And they're saying, oh, no, I'd rather just focus on getting a wide receiver in the draft and addressing everything else free agency. I was like, okay, I understand that. But for right now, I'm just doing everything in free agency sequence first because that's what comes first. You know, the draft is in April. Free agency is pretty much next month. Well, a month and a half. We're not going to talk anything draft today. We'll trust me, we'll definitely get into that. I love watching college tape as well, obviously. So we'll definitely get into the college tape. There's a lot of good options that could be at 11. A lot of good options. And some options that you think are going to be there, are probably not going to be there, but we'll break it down more. And as time goes by, and obviously this is what you guys have to understand too. These mock drafts that are coming out now, they don't really mean anything, because these teams in the next 2 months could fill the holes that we think that they're going to draft at. So we don't know. There's trades that can happen. We saw what happened last year with DeAndre Hopkins and that horrible trade with Houston and Arizona. Bill O'Brien is out there actually getting head coaching interviews, I heard, which is insane. We don't know what's going to happen until April. April 26th or something like that. It's around there. It's the last week of April. We won't know. So I won't get too much into the draft today. But yeah, so Daniel Jones had a clear digression this season opposed to last season, 2019, his rookie year. He finished this year with a 80.4 passer rating opposed to his last year's 87.7, which isn't crazy good, but it was pretty good for a rookie. And yes, he has his turnover problems last year, but he did finish with 24 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, had a long for – this is a big one. This is a big one. I want you guys – we'll come back to this because I want you guys to highlight this in your brains. His long last year, so his longest pass was a 75-yarder, okay? And his longest pass this year was a 53-yarder. That just – it tells you that the offense was just – it just wasn't the same. It wasn't the same. Obviously, we know that, but it just didn't help Daniel Jones. I truly believe in the beginning of the season, I thought this offense was a little more made for Saquon Barkley. And then when Saquon went down, it was kind of like Jason Garrett was like, well, you know, like, what the heck do I do now? Like, it was kind of like, to me, that's kind of the feeling I got. And I don't like that. That kind of scares me. People are like, oh, then, yeah, just give him another year, get Saquon back. But I don't like that. If you're not innovated enough to, you know, still change your offense or have like a backup plan in case your stars go down or whatnot, and you shouldn't be considered even getting any interviews for any job in the NFL. And I don't know. Jason Garrett's offense was just very questionable this year. Didn't make much sense. His third down offense was very, very questionable sometimes, and especially the fourth down. But yeah, so we're going to get a little more into it. Daniel Jones definitely did not have the season he envisioned for his sophomore year. But I'm also not a Daniel Jones hater. I still think he has potential. I think Daniel Jones has a lot of the skill set to be a really good quarterback. I think Daniel Jones could be a top 15, top 10 quarterback if the situation is right. And what I mean if the situation is right, I mean the O-line improves, obviously. You get him an actual weapon. He needs a weapon. First of all, like I said with Josh Allen, you need to get these young quarterbacks weapons. Some sturdy hands that are not Evan Ingrams, not 88s, that a quarterback can rely on. A young quarterback can just rely on consistently and drop it on the dime for them. And I think that's what we need. We need a weapon for Daniel Jones. I wouldn't be opposed to getting another tight end. That's actually a big thing I want us to address this offseason. That's probably not in everyone's minds, but I want us to get another tight end. And I'm not saying, you know, completely dump Evan Ingram. I mean, if we could get a third rounder or anything below that, I mean, anything higher than that, I'm down. I'm down to trade him. I'm down to trade him for a third rounder and anything higher. I'm down to trade Evan Ingram. I just don't think we're getting any type of value of that sorts because he would have been traded earlier in the season if he was. But yeah, so I still think we got to add another tight end. I don't know if we should get another speed tight end or a really good, you know, block and West Coast, you know, tight end or something like that. But we just got to get another reliable tight end. We need another reliable tight end. And obviously, Joe Judge likes guys that can block. So I envision us getting another guy that can block as well. But a really good receiving tight end would be nice for the New York Giants next year. But no, the weapon I'm talking about is a wide receiver. We need a wide receiver. I don't care. I don't. A lot of people are saying about, oh, we need a big wide receiver. I wouldn't mind one. I love a big wide receiver. You know, obviously we're used to that with the Manninghams and the Hakeem Nicks. I'm sorry about that. Just butchered that really bad. And the Hakeem Nicks and whatnot. But it doesn't matter to me at this point. I am just so desperate for a weapon, like just a lethal playmaker. Wide receiver at that position. I don't care if he's at the slot. I don't care if he's on the outside. I just want an elite receiver for Daniel Jones. I think that is what he's lacking. And then obviously I believe that this O-line is going to continue to grow, continue to get better. It was their first year playing together, all these guys. And Nick Gates, obviously, a very, very good acquisition for us. And I'm glad we extended him at the time we did, because we got him for really cheap because of so. But yeah, he didn't allow a single sack this year or pressures. And I think it was like 1,022 snaps or something like that. It was insane. Nick Gates played very solid for the Giants this year, and I'm glad he's on our roster. And he's definitely our center for the years to come. I think the positions you got to really worry about in the O-line is going to be the right guard, because I can't see Zeitler really being here for next year or the year after. I just don't see him unless we pay him around the either $6 million or below that range, and I don't think he's going to take that. I don't think he's going to take that. We can't pay him any more than that. We won't have money for anything. And I still think, personally, I still think Will Hernandez is a really good guard. Actually, really good is maybe a stretch. I think he's a starting guard. I think he's a starting guard. At one point of the season, for like 3 weeks or 4 weeks straight, he was like number one in run block win rate for all the guards in the NFL. And I did go back and watch all, obviously, the tapes. I saw Will, and I was really impressed. Like, he's really a hog molly. Like, that guy is a hog molly. So, and I was kind of like, I was skeptical at towards the end of the season. I'm like, why is Will not getting any time? Like, I thought we were still on this rotating, you know, line, but Will wasn't really getting any time to play. So, I'm curious on what we do next year with that O-line, especially that right side. It's really the right side that we, because I guess they want to implement Shane LeMahieu there again next year at left guard. I like Shane. He still has a lot of things to work on. I thought coming out, he was still a raw prospect, but he was a good prospect for what the position we got him in. I think that was a good pick by Dave Gettleman, in which we'll get to at the end of the show. It was a good pick. I still think he needs like a year or two, and then you'll start seeing him being a very, very solid O-lineman. I still have a lot of faith in Shane LeMahieu, so please, you guys, do not give up. Because I have guys on my Twitter that hate him already, and I'm just like, guys, come on. He was like, just give him time. Give him time, okay? But yeah, he's going to be solid. Trust me on that one. Andrew Thomas had a huge step up this season. I never once thought he was going to be a bust. I never once thought he was going to be in the Eric Flowers conversation, but that somehow got to a point where it was. And I remember on Twitter and everything, I was like, guys, come on. Like, did you see the competition he faced his first 6-5 weeks? Like, that's insane for a left tackle that's had no preseason, no OTAs, to go and just face 30-plus-year-old men who are just at their elite level of physiqueness and have been in the league for quite some time and have pass-rushing moves for days. Like, you can't expect him to just come out and dominate. Like, yes, Mekhi Becton was kind of dominating straight out the gate, but Mekhi Becton's also like 6'9", almost 380 pounds. Like, Mekhi Becton is huge. Like, what? It's kind of like physically impossible for most guys to just move him. You get like, Mekhi Becton's a guy you got to move, and you can't just really move him, or you just got to beat him off to speed. On the outside, he's got beat on the outside, but he is really good getting his arm there fast and getting his punch right. So, but yeah, this O-line class this year, I have to admit, because I went back a couple of weeks ago and I was just looking at all the progress of these O-linemen that got drafted this year. Man, this was a really good O-line draft. I was a really strong advocate. I thought it's going to sound a little braggy here, but everyone that has known me, I have said since he was playing college last year, I said Tristan Wirfs is the best O-lineman in this draft. I was saying it straight up, especially after his combine. After his combine, I'm like, he has to be. Based on his tape and what he just did in that combine, and I've never really seen an agile tackle like him, I was like, he's going to be so good. Like, I was kind of confused on the Andrew Thomas pick, but I got it because he was a really kind of safe pick. Per se, and he is really turning out good. But Tristan Wirfs is obviously the better lineman of this class as of right now from the rookie years. It was a really good O-line draft, though. Really good O-line draft. We haven't had those in years, so that was pretty cool to see. I think it gets kind of weaker this draft. There's a few good guards, and then obviously you have Penei, but I think there's more good guards than decent tackles, but yeah, you have Penei obviously, but he's kind of like the, you know, elephant in the room. I think he's not going to leave. I think he's not leaving top five. He's not leaving top five. There's no way. But Penei was the guy I wanted if I thought we were going to end up with like a top five pick. I was strong on getting Penei. I was like, yeah, let's get him. I don't care. We'll address wide. We'll address everything else offseason. Just get me Penei. Because if we could, for me, if we could just somehow just finish the old line for once and all, like for once, and just like know it's going to be steady and good for the years to come, I feel satisfied. For me, that I'd feel so satisfied. Regardless of who my quarterback is behind the pocket. So I don't know. That's just me though. But yeah, so the Giants ended up finishing with a record of 6-10. I had us going 7-9, so I was one game off. But next year to me, I think is a real year. Next year to me is the year that we have to have our expectations set. And that's to win the division. It has to be, guys. It just, Daniel Jones has to make the leap. There's no excuses for Daniel Jones next year for me. There's no really excuses for Daniel Jones next year, especially with Saquon back. Patrick Graham is back, and I'm so happy he's back. He's one of my favorite. He's one of my favorite Giants of all time as of right now. Like what he's done, if you see what he's done on tape, it is just insane with the talent that we're putting out there. That's not as opposed to as good as the offenses we're facing. Like it's crazy to see what he's done. But yeah, I'm a huge Patrick Graham advocate, so I'm glad he's back. He's definitely gonna get a head coaching job pretty soon. But I'm glad he's back for next year, at least. I think what we have to address this offseason will be OC. Don't know if we'll do it, but this is what I want to get to. This is where all the Giants fans are split, and I'm going to end it with this last one because we're running out a little bit of time here. Dave Gettleman. So I think the fan base is completely split in half from what I'm seeing. I don't know. You guys can let me know, but I'm on Twitter a lot. By the way, don't really like to shout out things, but my Twitter, if you guys want to know, I post daily there also, obviously. My Twitter is also called the Daily G-Men. I think it's just, I want to see the user. Let me look this up real quick. It might be, I just made it recently. So there's not much followers. I made it recently because I was usually following all football stuff, all Giant stuff on my, you know, like personal Twitter, because I don't really care about what my high school followers or college followers really care about what I post or anything anymore. So I'm just like, you know, whatever. This is really a sports channel. But I was like, you know, I'm just going to make the channel. So yeah, so the @ is Daily G-Men. So if you want to follow the Twitter, it's just called Daily G-Men. And then you'll see the G-Men Daily account. And that's me. But yeah, so in the Twitter community, this is completely split. I like Dave Gettleman in a way, to an extent. And it's kind of hard to like really get on Dave Gettleman because I believe he walked into a situation and where ownership was trying to get him to win and rebuild at the same time. And I truly believe that's just impossible in the NFL and NBA. I think in baseball, you could do it. In hockey, you could do it. The Rangers just did it. But in the NBA and the NFL, it is almost impossible to rebuild and win at the same time. And I think fans don't understand that. And I think he walked into that situation wanting his own quarterback, wanting his own coach, but not his own coach because he's got Pat Shermer, but wanting his own quarterback. But the Mariners wanted Eli because, you know, their weird obsession for him, in which I love Eli. I appreciate everything he's done for us, obviously. But I think years ago, I think when I initially thought Gettleman, when he first got the job, I was like, okay, finally rebuild starts. Eli's out. I'm sorry, Eli, I love you, but it's time to move on. But it didn't happen that way. We had to wait another 2 years, and that's why we've had this losing record, I believe, over these past couple of years, because we were trying to rebuild and win. But we're going to get way more into Gettleman on the next episode of the G-Man Daily Podcast, because we're running out of time here. I will be uploading usually at least 5 days a week. If you guys want me to upload daily, let me know. I would more than gladly do that. I also work a full-time job, so I work around that. But yeah, guys, I'm Jay. If you guys like what you heard, please give me a comment or rate this on wherever you're listening to. I love the Giants. I love Giants fans. I love this community. And I can't wait to tailgate with you guys next year, man. I can't wait to be at MetLife. I love this team so much. And I'm going to keep covering this team. And yeah, that's all, guys. I hope you guys have a wonderful day whenever you hear this. And go Big Blue.